Thanks for sticking around, everybody. So one of the we do a couple things at this meeting. We talk about what the goal amount is going to be for the offering this year, and we talk about what the amount is going to be used for. We also kind of do a review of what we've used the past offerings for. In figuring out the goal amount, we get at that number two different ways. We try to figure out what that number should be using two different lenses, essentially. We look at it from a top-down perspective, and we look at it from a bottom-up perspective. So the top-down perspective and figuring out what should the offering amount be this year is we look at the church, and we look at what the church's vision is. We look at the things that we think God wants us to do in the year ahead. And so that lens is essentially how much money is it going to take to accomplish God's vision for this church. But that's only one of the two perspectives. The bottom-up approach is looking not at the church or the church's needs at all, but just looking at giving for giving's sake and looking at the congregation, looking at how much would be a big amount for us to give as a church, just to give, and not even thinking about, you know, the vision of the church, but compared to what we gave in prior years. So this meeting is going to have two different parts to it based upon those two different lenses. So after I'm done, Matt is going to come up and he's going to talk about the top-down perspective. He's going to talk about from the institutional side, from the church's perspective, the vision for the year ahead and how much it's going to take to accomplish that vision and why we think the goal amount is a good number for that vision. But before that, I'm going to talk about the bottom-up perspective and why this number makes sense just based on us and what we've given in the past. And I think that, you know, if you've been around the church at all, and if you've been around for these offerings in the past, that's the side that I care more about. We do this offering for both reasons, because it enables the church to do what the church is supposed to do, and because we all need to give. But of those two reasons, I care far more about the second one than I do about the first one. We do it primarily because we just need to give. And I've said before, you know, even if we just gave this money and threw it all away, it would still serve a purpose. That's not what we're doing, and that's what Matt's going to talk about, the non-throwing away of it. But I'm talking about just what we got to give, just to give, just for its own sake. And let's set a goal that would be a good goal just from the spiritual side of it. So the way we look at it from that perspective is we look at what we've given in past years, because we don't want to just stay stagnant. We want to be growing in faith. We want to be, if we stretched ourselves last year, we want to stretch ourselves more this year. And if you look at the past four Thanksgiving offerings, in 2010, we gave $60,000. In 2011, we gave $103,000. In 2012, we gave $230,000. And then in 2013, we gave $430,000. So I'll just put a chart up here to show what should already be evident to you if you know basic arithmetic, which is that it's basically doubling every year. It's a little bit less than doubling some years, a little bit more than doubling other years, but on average, it almost works out to doubling every year, three times now, and there's consistency, such that last year's offering was four times the offering 2 years prior, and eight times the offering 3 years prior. And, you know, I've been very reluctant to call this a trend, and the reason I've been reluctant to call it a trend is because the logical side of me says, well, this obviously can't continue. So if you just do the calculations, this would mean 6 years from now we would be giving $26 million. And $52 million the year after that, and $104 million the year after that. So it logically, you know, it cannot keep doubling every year. God does crazy things, but he doesn't just defy, you know, all laws of mathematics. He created the laws of mathematics. So it can't keep doubling every year. So I've been not wanting to call it a trend. And because of that, where we've set the goal every year is right above the what we actually gave the year before. So for instance, the year we gave 103, the next year we set the goal at 120. And then the next year we gave 230, and so we set the goal at 240. And so continuing that, I wanted to set the goal at $480,000 this year, which would be just above what we actually gave last year of $430,000. But some of the other pastors and ministry leaders challenged me on that and said, look, it's happened three times now. And so it's starting to look like you're creating an easy goal, you know, just so you can crush it. And that's fine if that's what you want to do, but that kind of defeats the purpose of the goal. If the purpose of the goal is to put a number out there, that would really be a stretch. You know, now it's kind of like we have the soft goal and then we have some other imaginary goal that's out there because we've doubled it so often. And so I thought about that, and we had a great meeting of pastors and ministry leaders hashing this out. And finally, with much fear and trembling, I agreed. So the goal for this year is going to be 840,000, which is just under double last year's goal. The 840 instead of 860, because that's divisible by three, and we divide it into three parts, which Matt's going to talk about in just a second. 840,000. And again, the logical side of me thinks that's not possible. You know, I even asked the pastors and ministry leaders as we were discussing this, and people were saying we should go for it. I said, well, is everybody around this table ready to give double what they gave last year? And everybody kind of hemmed and hawed. And I hemmed and hawed. I said, I don't know if Brittany and I are ready to give double what we gave last year. But of course, it doesn't mean that everybody has to give double. Some people will give double. Some people will give less than double. You know, it's not, the idea is not that you give more every year. Again, mathematically, that's going to break down at some point, or give double every year. The idea is that you stretch more every year. So if you're financially less secure than you were last year, if you have less money than you had last year, you could stretch more by giving the same amount that you gave last year, or even giving less than you gave last year. So some people will give double. Some people will give less than double, or give the same, or give less. Some people will give more than double. One person told me already that they were praying about it and they felt like they were supposed to give five times what they gave last year. And then, in addition to all that, the most important thing is that there's going to be new people giving. The church has grown since last year, and the goal is not just to grow the amount every year with the same group of people, but to grow the number of givers every year, and that's happened as well. So if you put all that together, I guess theoretically it's possible that we could get to 840. It seems like quite a stretch. I think it would be quite an accomplishment, and it assumes that God would work in our hearts and move in the church in the same way that he's done the past 4 years. And you know as well as I do that just because it's happened four times doesn't mean it's going to happen again. You know, it's never clockwork. It's never something you can just depend on like a formula. And I hope it happens again. I hope he moves in the same way he has in years past. And if he does, then I guess 840 is theoretically possible. But that's not something that I can control. It's not something that anybody can control. So I guess we will just wait and see. So that's the you side of it, the giving just to give and figuring out a goal amount based upon what would be a real stretch for our church to give. And now Matt's going to come and talk about the other side of it, and we really feel like the two sides line up, that when we look at the number that makes sense from just giving for the sake of giving, and then we look at the number that makes sense for the church's vision, it's the same number. So I'm going to hand it over to Matt so he can share with you about that.
Thanks. I'm going to do three things. I'm going to walk through, as you can see that, I'm going to walk through last year's Thanksgiving offering and how we've deployed that money this year. I'm going to give you a baseline budget for how we're thinking about 2015, and then I'm going to lay out a little bit of a vision for what it might look like if we got a number like $840,000 this year. So, Matthew, you can click through a couple of slides if you want. So last year, as you'll remember, our goal was $240,000. We had 57 families and individuals pledged to give $458,000. We got 94% of that, so we got just shy of $430,000, which is remarkable. I think the 94% is truly remarkable, and that's consistent, by the way, with what we've seen in past years, is we're always kind of in the mid-90% of what we've actually gotten versus what was pledged. So truly remarkable. You can click one slide, Matthew. We've deployed that money in four major ways. As you'll remember, every year we've done this, we've said that we're going to set aside the first third of our goal amount and give it to outside organizations. So we've done that again this year. $80,000 was given away, or you can go back to the $80,000. $80,000 was given away, or is in the process of being given away to organizations. And if you were here in June on our Mission Sunday, you heard directly from a lot of these organizations. And I guess I'd make a couple of points about that list. These are the nine organizations that we're currently supporting. And you know, these are real organizations that are doing real tangible things to build and support the kingdom of God in New York City and around the world. And this list includes two churches who are, you know, both of which are basically startup churches, and I think you can even make a compelling case that these churches wouldn't be in existence if it weren't for our support. And I think you all should feel really good about this. And part of it that I think is pretty cool is that these are, you know, this is a lot of support to real organizations, and none of us are getting any individual credit for it. You know, you and I can give to any charity we want to, and a lot of us do, but the credit for these donations is only going to the body of Christ, to God himself, and to our church. And so I think that's pretty cool that, you know, the only person really who's getting credit for this is God. The second way we spent the money is we needed $125,000 of last year's Thanksgiving offering to support previous Thanksgiving offering initiatives. So if you remember, 2 years ago, we had two really big goals for our Thanksgiving offering. We wanted to move our head pastor, Ryan, and his family into Lower Manhattan so that they could be living and, you know, having their kids in schools and living in the community that this church was called to serve. And we also wanted to hire a full-time children's minister. So we hired Emily. We got a pretty good one. So what we needed to do, a really good one, and by the way, I'll get to it in a minute on the budget slide, our regular giving has ticked up a little bit, but it hasn't trended up enough to support the kind of ongoing run rate of our previous Thanksgiving offering initiative. So we needed $125,000 from last year's Thanksgiving offering to support the previous year's initiatives. The third big chunk of money, and by far the largest, was $185,000 that we spent on new initiatives and projects. And there's a long list of things. The big ones are on the slide here, but I'm missing some. We can go through these in more detail if you want. The way I think about this is kind of in big buckets. The first bucket I think of is sort of general church professionalization. So we did a few key things this year. We hired three new part-time staff. So we have Annie Laurie, who's kind of doing some administrative stuff and helping Nick with the youth program. We have Nick, who's doing the youth program. And we have Matt Gallagher, who's kind of captaining Sunday morning setup and operations. We also have a church office now, which we didn't have before. We had a smaller office we moved into first, and then over the summer we upgraded to a slightly bigger space. We have two. It's in 299 Broadway. It's a great space. We have two walled offices and a nice conference room. The space is getting used, you know, 6 days a week at least. Ryan and Emily work out of there every day during the work hours, and then it's probably used two or three times a week at least in the evenings for various meetings. So it's a nice space. We've also, and this is embarrassing that we hadn't been able to do it before, but this year for the first time we're giving our full-time pastors health insurance. And so so those are kind of what I think of as sort of church professionalization, just kind of bringing us up to what we should be doing as a church and kind of the resources that we should have. There's a bunch of things that are listed below that, which I sort of think of as Christian ministry and engagement. So we have a big care ministry budget. We'll spend between $5,000 and $10,000 this year alone on just care ministry, and a big chunk of that means stuff we're doing for the people in our church. And a big chunk of that is we're reimbursing half of counseling costs for anybody who needs or wants to use Christian counseling. And that has ticked up a lot. It's ticked up a lot this fall. I think probably the marriage series had something to do with that, but we've seen a lot of people taking advantage of that. We're also, you know, we're giving scholarships to people who want to go on the retreats but can't afford it. We're paying for babysitting for people who need it in order to join a community group. And all of this I think of as, you know, we want to make sure that cost is not at all a barrier to people wanting to be engaged in the body of Christ. And this is stuff that, you know, Ryan says all the time. We've never heard of a church that does this kind of stuff. But to be honest, I cannot think of a better way to spend money, period. We're spending money so that people don't have any cost prohibitors to being engaged in the body of Christ. And then we've spent actually a decent amount of money on marketing this year. We have a new website. We have a new logo that we got some help with. We've done several mailings. We'll probably do one or two more between now and the end of the year. We've done a decent amount of advertising, both digital and print. And then there's a few other things. We gave Emily a raise this year. We've spent some money giving away books. We've had some fall park days, lots of other things. But basically, we've done a lot of little things that add up to some pretty cool stuff, I think. We're doing a lot to support the families in this church. We're doing a lot to support the community. And then the last of it, we about $40,000 we're just saving, and so we'll end this year with about $40,000 more in the bank than when we started the year. So that's how we deployed the $430,000 that we got last year. Hopefully you all feel pretty good about that. I feel really good about it. I'm going to transition a little bit and give you a view into kind of our budget for 2015. And you can click one more slide, Matthew. So this is what we're projecting to spend next year for 2015, assuming we continue to do everything we're doing this year, which we want to do. We'll need about $225,000 to support previous year's Thanksgiving offering initiatives. So that's everything I walked through. That's our Lower Manhattan Parsonage. That's our church office. That's our new part-time staff. That's our counseling initiative. It's everything I just walked through. Then we've got about $210,000, which is pay and benefits for our three full-time pastors. Obviously, right now we have two. We have Ryan and Emily. Ryan can talk about this in questions if you want to ask him about it. But we are budgeting for a new Jacob, and we think that'll happen sometime next year. So we've got that in the budget for next year. And then Sunday operations, $145,000. That's just what it takes to do this every Sunday, 52 weeks a year. And about half of that is rent to this space. The rest of it is the children's program, the worship team, the bagels in the back, printing equipment, things like that. And the church community is stuff we do for events and things we do for our own church community, for all of you. So that's our retreats. That's our all-church dinners. And then outreach is stuff we do to reach out to the community. So that's things like the Easter egg hunt, the pumpkin patch, things like that. So that's our baseline budget. We need about $660,000 just to continue doing everything we're doing now. This year we're projected to bring in around $360,000. Click one more. Around $360,000 in regular giving. I think it's safe to assume we'll get about $380,000, hopefully more, but about $380,000 in regular giving next year, which means that we need $280,000 from this year's Thanksgiving offering just to continue doing everything that we're doing as a church now. Hopefully that all makes sense. I walked through that pretty quickly, but the headline there is we need $280,000 from a new Thanksgiving offering to continue everything we're doing next year. But as Ryan said, we think we're called to do a lot more. We think, every year we've done this Thanksgiving offering, we've put a goal out there that seemed pretty crazy and absurd at the time, and every year God has said, basically in response to us, I have even bigger plans than what seem like big plans to you. Because every year we put this goal out there, and every year it's basically been doubled. And so what we're doing this year is putting this number out in faith. And, I think also a decent amount of fear and trembling, as Ryan said. But I'm going to walk you through a little bit of a vision, and it's a bit of an ambiguous vision because we're not sure actually how realistic this is. But I'm going to walk you through a vision for what $840,000 might look like for our church next year. The first thing we would do, as we've done every year, is we would give away a third of it to outside organizations. So that means we would give away $280,000 to outside organizations. And I have no idea what exactly that might mean. We don't know what organizations it might be. We don't know anything about it. And if we actually got this money, your pastors and your team of ministry leaders would pray to make sure that we're using this money in the way God wants us to use it. A couple of points here. We've done this every year, and I think we believe as pastors that part of the reason God has blessed this Thanksgiving offering every year is because we've been faithful about giving money away. But it is crazy. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. Nobody does a fundraising effort and then says, especially a stretch fundraising effort, and then says, by the way, a third of the money that you give us, we're just going to give away. It's really crazy. But let me give you two reasons why I'm excited about it. Obviously, we don't want to mess with the fact that this has worked in the past, and we think this is part of the reason why God has blessed this. But let me give you two reasons why I'm excited about it. The first is the obvious one. $280,000 can go a long way in our community. And I think we could do really interesting and strategic things with that kind of money invested in our community. We could give a huge shot of adrenaline to a new organization or to an organization that's struggling. We could even think about bringing some kind of charity under our own umbrella and having something housed here as part of LMCC. Again, we have no idea what it might look like, but I think there's really interesting and exciting and strategic things we could do if we had that kind of money available for community initiatives. The other reason, which is far less altruistic, but I'm excited about it just because I think it could help put us on the map. I mean, it's such an absurd amount of money to give away that I think it could somehow put us on the map. I mean, I haven't looked at the numbers, but my guess is giving away this amount of money puts us in, like, the top echelon of churches in the United States. And as you saw, our regular operating budget for next year is $660,000, and to give away an amount that's almost half of what it takes to operate the whole church for a year, I think is so absurd that we ought to get some visibility out of that somehow. Whether it's press coverage or something, I don't know what it might mean, but somehow I think that there's something interesting God could do with this just because it's so absurd that could help put us on the map. So I'm kind of excited about it for that reason. The second thing we do with the $840,000 is, as I said, we would need $280,000 just to sort of fill the budget gap. So that would go toward doing everything we're doing now. And then the rest of it, we would set aside for big projects, for exciting new things. And here, again, it's going to be a little bit flat because we don't know exactly what this might be. But if we get this money, we're going to pray that God gives us the direction for how we want to spend this money. What I know for sure, the only thing we have real conviction over, is that we think God wants to do really big things with this church. And what exactly that is, we don't know. What exactly that looks like, we don't know. But I think we all have pretty strong conviction that God wants to do big things with this little church. So I do have a hunch that what we would do with a lump sum of money is save it towards one or two big initiatives rather than doing a bunch of little things like we did before. Personally, I would love to see a big chunk of money set aside for us having a permanent Sunday morning home. As a lot of you know, the way it works here is because the owner is a combination of likes us and sort of feels bad for us, has given us a rent rate that's way below market value. I mean, we're probably, what, Ryan, 20% of what they would normally charge somebody to be in this space, but which is great, but the problem is that means he can, you know, kick us out anytime he's got another client who will pay the full market rate. And it also means we kind of show up here every Sunday and we don't know exactly what we're going to get, what chairs we're going to have, how clean the room's going to be, that sort of thing. So if we had the money might even, you know, we could even think about paying something closer to market rate here so that we have consistency over this space and we don't get booted out. Or we could look for some other space. Again, we don't know exactly what it might be, but I think that'd be, if you think about the things that are holding us back as a church from really getting to the next level, I think consistency for Sunday morning space has to be at or near the top of the list. I'd love to be able to have a little more money for kind of a staff budget. I'd love for us to be more generous with pay and benefits for our current pastor. I'm off script there, so he won't like that, but I would like to do that. I would also, you know, people have mixed feelings about marketing, but I would love for us to have a big marketing budget. And, you know, like I said, people have mixed feelings about marketing a church. But personally, I hate the fact that we have world-class preaching at this church. World-class preaching that's equally applicable to somebody who's a lifelong believer and somebody who's just a skeptic or an atheist. And I hate the fact that we have that and people just don't know that we're here. So I'd love to be able to put some real money towards kind of really strategic marketing, and I don't know what exactly that might look like, but I'd love to figure out ways to help put us on the map if we had the resources for it. So that's a bit of a vision, and like I said, it's a bit of an ambiguous vision. I'll answer a couple of questions that I think will come up before we actually get to questions. One is, obviously, there's a very real chance that we won't get this money, and what does that mean if we come somewhere far less than that? I don't know. I don't know. Personally, I'd be thrilled if we got what we got last year, but I think we're going to blow it out of the water. I think we're going to get over $1 million. I might be wrong, but I think we're going to get a big number this year because I just think that God has big plans for this church. And what will it mean if we get something far less than that? I don't know. We don't have an answer to that yet. We'll take that as it comes. The other question, which Ryan alluded to, is what kind of precedent does this set for next year? And again, I don't know. We'll sort of take next year when next year comes. But for now, you know, like I said, we're putting this number out there out of faith. We're putting this number out there with fear and trembling, to use Ryan's words, which are actually the Apostle Paul's words, I guess. I think to the extent that we can be honest judges of our own hearts, we're putting this out there not out of greed, but out of an expectation that God wants to do big things through this church. And we're putting it out there out of faith that God wants to use this church to do big things in New York City. I think it's also worth noting that, you know, obviously this has not been the smoothest year for LMCC. We're operating right now down one pastor, so we're kind of limping along, but we're not coasting. And hopefully this is clear by setting a goal this high that we don't, you know, we're not coasting. We think God wants to do big things with this church. And in fact, I think we believe that everything that's happened in recent months is because God wants to get us ready to do big things with this church. So that's part of why we feel peace about putting this number out there. And look, I think it'll be exciting. I think it'll be really exciting to see what happens. So now you all have 2 weeks to think about your own number. And what the advice I would give is that you sort of go through the same process that the pastors and ministry leaders have gone through here, which is pray about this a lot and pick a number that you're not comfortable with, but that it's a number that represents your faith, and that I think when you do that, God will he'll meet you, he'll exceed your expectations, and that's what we're praying for with this. Anything else you want to add? So I guess we'll take some questions. I'll turn it back over to Ryan.
Questions? Anybody? Yeah. That's right. That's right. The 660 is the operating budget, and the regular giving is projected for 380 next year. So what Matt was saying is that we've every year we use the Thanksgiving offering to grow the budget, and then it grows more than regular giving grows. So one of the things we're going to stop doing is we're going to stop using the Thanksgiving offering as much to add these recurring budget items. And so we don't anticipate the budget to grow as much in the next few years as it has in the last few years. And eventually the idea is that the regular giving would catch up to the budget, and the Thanksgiving offering would be used exclusively for big projects or new initiatives. But at this point, it's part of it, a third of it is going to be used just to support the current budget. Good question. Others. Yeah, I meant to say that. Thank you. Great question. So the way it works is you can give it all in one lump sum on November 23rd, or you can fill out a pledge card and give it over the next 6 months, or maybe, I guess, 7 months. We do it from now till the end of June. And so some people do one, some people do the other, some people do both. I think most people do both. They give a little bit up front, and they pledge, I'm going to give X amount between now and the end of June. And for those who tithe, that's in addition to the tithe they're already giving. If you don't tithe, I think it's up to you whether you want to consider tithing first or you consider doing this first. It is our goal that everybody would tithe eventually, but that's not what we're talking about here, and we talk about tithing in class 201, actually. It can be a thing that's stretched out from now until June, and people are people, so we're never going to get 100, and like Matt said, I'm absolutely blown away by the 94% we got last year, and the 96% we got the year before. Yeah.
What's the process of finding a replacement pastor, and our involvement in the community of the pastors?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think as far as your involvement as a community, anybody that wants to be involved can be, and if you've got somebody that you want to nominate or something like that, absolutely feel free to do that. Kara's kind of heading up the search committee, but it's been slow to take shape for the reason that I mentioned when we talked about this a few months ago, which is just that we want to assess more specifically what our needs are and try to get a better sense of, what is really going to have the most impact at OMCC. Feel free to nominate somebody and come alongside. But as much as I'd like to have somebody here now, I'm very afraid of getting the wrong person. That happens all the time, and it's very hard to unwind that. So we're really taking our time and want to make a really good decision. Others?
Thank you.
Yeah. There's a couple of different ways you can answer that. You can answer it based on how many people are in community groups, which is over 100. You can answer it based on average Sunday morning attendance, which this fall is like 115 adults and 45 to 50 kids. You can answer it based on how many people call LMCC their church home, and that's probably about 250 adults and 125 kids. Yeah. The budget year over year? Attendance, Sunday morning attendance is only up like 12% year over year this fall. It just varies. I mean, it's been on the rise consistently for the last, you know, 5 or 6 quarters, but pretty gradual growth. Yeah.
You talked a little bit about possibly a permanent home.
Right.
Would you look at the neighborhood? How
right.
Would that be something near term, long term?
Yeah. Well, and that's something I had mentioned last year too, is a permanent space, and then we ended up delaying on it, but it's still out there for us. I think we would look in the neighborhood first. We do, you know, we're reaching more and more people outside the neighborhood, which I love, but we also feel called specifically to this neighborhood. And we're reaching more and more singles, which I love, but we also still feel called specifically to families. So the thing about downtown is, you may know this demographically, I mean, you know, just from walking around the streets and opening your eyes, but 25% of households downtown are parents and kids, which, you know, in a normal suburban neighborhood, that number is 50 to 75%. But that 25% is astronomically high for Manhattan. So a lot of Manhattan neighborhoods are only 5% of the households in the neighborhood are parents and kids. So if we're going to fulfill our unique calling, I think staying in this neighborhood makes sense. In terms of what the space would look like, I don't know. It could be a 24/7 lease. We're obviously not going to buy something. Or it could be just where we lock up the Sunday morning space for 52 weeks a year, and have the ability. One big thing is what you guys don't see is this crew that comes and loads everything in, loads everything out every Sunday. And some of you do see it, and some of you are part of it. But it's a heavy toll on those guys. And so even just a space where we could store the stuff at the venue, and we've asked them here multiple times, and they haven't wanted us to do that. So it could be anything from a full-on 24/7 lease to just Sunday mornings 52 weeks a year plus some storage space. Yeah. Good question. I don't know if there is a number one priority. I think that whatever we get, we'll try to split it evenly in those three categories that Matt talked about, you know, with the budget from last year, and then the outside giving to the outside organizations, and then the new initiatives and the savings. So I don't know that we could prioritize one over the other. Good question. That's right. Yeah. That's right. We actually did that with marketing people, and I'm sorry I didn't invite you, Jane, because you would have been great. But it was fun, and we should do more of it. It's tough because everybody's strapped for time, you know. One of the things I love about this offering is, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more next week, but your time or your money is your life in the same way that your time is your life, or your energy is your life. So I think people are always saying, you know, well, let's give volunteer hours, let's pitch in. And I don't see that as being any better or any different than giving money, because you work for this money with your time and in your energy. And so if God has given you this job where you have to work X number of hours a week and don't have much margin time-wise, instead of saying, well, we've all got to change and be different people, let's use the thing we do have, which is money. And I think you can give your life to God as an offering in the same way. Not that we don't want to do the volunteering thing as well, but given how strapped people are for time in this church, I think it's a good strategy we've landed on. Others? All right. I'll say again, it's helpful for some people and it's not for others. So for me, I don't care about this stuff. You know, I never cared about this stuff in giving campaigns I've been a part of in the past. I just give to give. And some of you are like that. And if any of this doesn't make sense to you or bothers you or confuses you, just forget about it, because that's not what it's about, and don't get distracted. But for others of you, you like this stuff and it's important to you, and there's nothing wrong with that, and it's perfectly appropriate. And so if this stuff, the vision stuff, the church side stuff, motivates you and helps you, then more power to you on that front as well. So 2 weeks from today, and we got one more sermon still. So see you next week.